Hey, if you want an acting career, should you study? Stay tuned. We'll answer.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah. Be true to your school. And today, we're going to talk about you should be true to your acting school. Because if you want an acting career, you have to study. As always, I have my wonderful, amazing co-host, Roxy Stryer.
Oh, gosh, Sean, missing last show. It's daggers to my soul.
Yeah,
you did an amazing job, though.
Thank you very much. And fabulous actor and teacher, Holly Gagné from Playhouse West.
Hello.
An old friend that we've known each other for years and years. And we are going to talk about training for acting, going to school, how to study acting. Is it important? Absolutely. A lot of people think, oh, I can wing it. I have a great personality. People say I'm fun at parties. I have a couple YouTube videos. That's great, but it's not going to sustain you because it is a craft. Our acting teacher, Bob Carnegie, used to say, would you go into a hospital, and I've said it on the show, would you go into a hospital and say, hey, I'd like to perform a brain surgery? No, absolutely not. And if you were a lawyer, you'd go to law school. So just like those professions, you need to study acting. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah,
I agree.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I think the problem is, though, is there's such a variety of thought on what is actual acting training.
Well, the good news is that, and we'll go into the history a little bit, is that, you know, I think nowadays the standard is, do I believe it? You know, do I believe who you are on screen? Are you actually that person? We're going to get into that, but as always, each week we start off with my week, what's going on with me and my acting career. I had one more audition this week for a pilot. I did not get on hold for that one.
What was the character?
It was like a wacky teacher, like a driving teacher. Driving instructor. And
I can see it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. My movie, Crust, I have been working with a friend of mine who's going to be the line producer, and I'm going to be working with a woman who's executive producing. They got together, and we're having our first production meeting to see what the budget is going to be on that. Teaching-wise, I'm starting a beginning class, which the Holly Gagné, who has been acting for years and has done a ton of things, is humbly taking the beginning improv at the school, and I am her teacher. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it's really, really great. And then for me, I also did the business thing, and that was dinner with my manager, Gary. So I think we have a picture of that. Gary Uzdahl is my manager at Advanced Management. It's really important. We went out. We broke bread. We had a great talk.
Did you ask him for the dinner? He asked you, or how does that?
We were both kind of saying, like, we need to hang out again. You know? It was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we got together, had a great meeting, talked about personal stuff, talked about business stuff, and we talked about bringing Roxy over to meet Gary to give some career advice to.
Boy, could I use it.
Oh, stop. You're great. You're fantastic.
No, I'm excited about that. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about studying for acting, but we do want to introduce Holly. Holly, tell us a little bit about your career and how you got into teaching.
Well, I did my first commercial at 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you remember what it was?
It was Mattel, and I do remember they dressed me like a baby because I was really tiny.
Right.
And they put a diaper on me, and I was just mortified, burst into tears, sobbing, and then they had to calm me down with like ice cream or something,
right.
And you know, then had me play with the blocks or whatever. But I was just, I couldn't. I was a smart 3-year-old. Like,
yeah,
I knew what was going
on.
You're not stupid at 3.
You were being hoodwinked.
Yeah.
So you were LA born
I was
born
playing
and
younger.
Bred.
LA born and bred. And I was already having to lie about my age and play younger.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, I was a professional dancer for a long time. And all the dancers, all the dance stuff you saw with commercials, Pringles, Coca-Cola, anything, even now when you see all those spots, it was all of us that were young dancers that looked all American.
Yeah.
And I did a ton of commercials, and my I was doing some commercial, and someone said, "Oh, my agent thought you were so cute." Someone's agent was on set,
sure,
and she wants to sign you. And I,
how old were you?
I was young. I was like 16.
Okay.
And then I booked. You know, they submitted me for a theatrical thing, and I got it.
Okay.
And I got my first check.
Okay.
And I was like, well. Crap. Are you allowed to cuss on here? Like, holy F.
A little bit. Yeah.
Holy F. Like, that's a lot of money for doing not too heck of a lot.
Right.
And so.
Were your parents in support at that point?
No.
They did not want you doing
this. And my
this.
Father was in the business, and they were like completely 1,000% against it.
Yeah.
And then I just started to go to class and started to work a lot.
Mm-hmm. And you got into the soap world, yeah?
Did 8 years of daytime and did a lot of different things. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I was one of Joey's crazy sisters on Friends. Like,
nice.
I've done a bunch of cult classic things.
Yeah.
And then as time went on and I continued to study, I studied with the late, great Sanford Meisner. And when I landed at Playhouse West, Mr. Mm-hmm. Carnegie and Jeff, Jeff Goldblum primarily was the one that was like, you need to be teaching.
Okay.
And so... I teach just to pay it forward and have fun, and
when
I love it.
When did you start teaching, Holly? I don't actually know.
1991.
So mm-hmm. you were just starting to teach when I got there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you teach exactly?
I teach at Playhouse West.
Yeah.
It's a style of technique called Meisner work. And since I studied with Mr. Meisner, I can tell you it's authentic, real Meisner training. But what's interesting about that, and I'm sure you'll get into that, prior to that, I had studied everywhere with everyone.
Yeah.
And I had no kind of consistent actual technique. So when it went well, it went great. And when I didn't do well, I had no idea why it didn't go well.
Okay.
You know, and that, I guess, is a great segue in
why you really need
to train.
Yeah, why you really need a technique. And really the history of what's been going on in America for the last 90 years is due to a specific style of training, because theater for the longest time was very presentational. I think it was Stella Adler or someone, Uta Hagen was saying there's how to put on the mask, how to wear the mask and put on a character and make it like a costume. So it was all external. It was all showy. So way back in the early 1900s, Konstantin Stanislavski in Russia was starting to feel that there's an inner and an outer, and started to do a lot of work with the Moscow Art Theater. He toured America in the 30s, and a lot of people studied with him, including Stella Adler, Lee Strasberg, Harold Klerman, Sandy Meisner, Ilya Kazan. They all started studying this
Clifford
method. Clifford Odets. And they all started to form a theater group called the Group Theater. And the whole idea...
Clever.
Yeah, the whole... yeah, they were really...
Catchy
edgy.
Name.
Yeah, super edgy. A group of people.
But what does it mean?
Yeah, but I don't get it. I just wish I could get a handle on the name. So the idea was to produce plays and write plays and really push this technique of how do we make it the most real and the most authentic. And then a few of them splintered off to start teaching their methods. Lee Strasberg was a big one, and he taught Marilyn Monroe. But the big controversy there was when you were doing personal work to get an emotional reaction to something, he would make you use stuff from your real life, which unfortunately to someone like Marilyn Monroe was very damaging, because she brought up all this stuff and then didn't know how to deal with it. So people like Stella Adler went back to Stanislavski and Meisner, and they both kind of split off and thought, let's use a safer way, an imaginative way. Is that kind of the root of when you studied with him? To be safer, to not use stuff from your real life.
You don't have to have experienced something to understand it.
Okay.
And in fact, very often your real stuff doesn't work, because it can become too overwhelming. So it is really...
Do you feel people almost even block that stuff too, because they don't want
to
deal with it?
Yeah, we're wired to not deal with stuff. We have adrenaline, we have all sorts of things to help, to help us cope. So whatever works is great, but I think if you want to keep your sanity, there's a lot easier way to go about it, which is you can just have an understanding of it. It's no different than you, Roxy, watching the news and you see some horrible story and you go, oh my God, and it really affects you. You have never lived that. You've never experienced that, but you understood it and it hurt. That's the type of stuff that we're talking about. You only right. need to have a personal understanding of it in order to act it.
Right. So these were the people who influenced the newer generation, Marlon Brando, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. And when I teach my students, I actually have them start with Streetcar Named Desire to see how different Marlon Brando is. And then you go to On the Waterfront, where a few more people like Carl Malden are doing a little more real. And then have them skip to Godfather, where now the whole standard is much more real. And that's kind of where all acting classes, if you want a good one, should stem hopefully somewhere in that kind of technique and believability. So the first thing we want to cover is you come to LA, as we talked about last week. How do you find a good acting class? Well, first of all, obviously, you can go online. The best thing, obviously, is if you have some sort of connection with somebody, you could ask for references. Maybe you could even tweet an actor that you like or have seen and say, hey, do you have any recommendations? I get them all the time. My niece is coming to town. A friend of mine just said, my niece is coming to town. Can you help her out? I referred her to Playhouse West.
You see so many Facebook posts. My cousin moving to L.A.
Right.
My Facebook friends. Inevitably, someone knows someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Exactly. So that's the first way to do it. But let's say you don't know any people in L.A. What do you think is the best way? To me, I think because of the people we talked about, if they have any training with or any philosophy towards those people, I think that's a good way to start. Any suggestions on your end, Holly?
Well, you're going to hear about a lot of schools.
Okay.
And I think the easiest thing to do is, what's their track record? Who have they taught?
Right.
Who has graduated from
there?
Great.
The alumni. That's what
yeah,
you
have. I mean,
if you check their websites, they have, because they want to brag about it, they all have lists of who's currently working, who's there, who's previously taken classes, who's now booking.
Yeah. And you
right.
want to, you know, you want to cross check. I just read about a school that had a lot of people claiming that people had studied at that school. And some
right.
of the people on the list were personal friends of mine. I'm thinking they've never studied there.
Right.
So
right.
You do want to make sure that it's legit, that it's, you know, they
yeah.
these people actually did study there.
Yeah.
But the bigger schools, it's pretty hard to make it up. And there are a handful of really amazing schools in L.A.
Yeah. And I think the other thing you can do is, let's say you get a list together. They should allow you to audit and
mm-hmm.
see what they're doing. Anyone who asks you, I talk about this all the time when we were talking about agents last week. Anyone who asks you for money sight unseen, or say, hey, you need to give us some money before you come and look at the studio or see a teacher, always run screaming. That is not legitimate. No legitimate school will ask you for money until you are at least have some understanding of the class you're taking, either audit or see something that's going on in the school. So never pay up front. So then you'll go, you'll audit, and then just like, to me, I think it's like finding a therapist
or a college
doctor,
even
or doctor or college. You go there and you don't feel guilty, trapped. It needs to fit. It needs to work for you. And if it doesn't, then if you have your list, you go to the second one
mm-hmm.
or the third one. And of course, when you're auditing, you should go to maybe a few of them. So then you go, okay, I'm going to try this one first and that one
but
first.
When you have your list, you also need to be equipped with what you're seeing. Don't just walk into a school and not know what it is you're even looking
what
at.
What do you mean by that, Holly?
For instance, if you come to look at any Meisner school in LA,
okay.
and you're watching a beginning class,
right.
you're going to see people do what we call an improvisation, an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just the naked eye watching, you're going to think you're watching a scene. And
okay.
you're going to think maybe it isn't even that great of a scene, because you're
right.
going to go, this doesn't make any sense, because you don't realize they're doing a very specific, particular exercise
right.
to the technique. It's no different than if you go watch, you want your kid to sign up for basketball.
Right.
And you happen to show up and the kids aren't playing the game.
Right.
The coach has
doing
them
drills.
Doing some very unusual drills. You're going to go, well, why are these kids jumping through tires
yeah.
if they're playing basketball?
Right. Right.
You have to know what it is you're seeing when you
right.
walk in.
Right.
Equip yourself with the various techniques and teachers so you know.
Do you just think Google it beforehand?
Yeah, you have the world at your
yeah.
fingertips, which is great.
Yeah. Right. So then you get in there, and so what are you going to learn? Why are we stressing this? Why are we saying it's important? And one of the first most basic things, if you're going to become a painter, you have to know your medium, which is either oil or canvas or sketching or charcoal or different colors and palettes. If you are going to study acting, one of the most basic things you're going to learn, you need to put on what I call your artist's eyes. You're going to be a person throughout the day, but when a surgeon goes in and starts to do a surgery, he's looking at veins and stuff. But if he's out to dinner, he's not going to grab your arm and start looking at veins. So when he's in there, he's the surgeon, and when he's not, he's not. But the surgeon has a specific skill. We have just us and are observing. And so what we want to do is when we have our artist's eyes, I always tell my students, go observe human behavior. Go sit at a grocery store and see, you know, the mom and the kid. How are they interacting? How is the mom behaving? So a good acting school will really teach you to focus on someone else's behavior. Would you agree with that, Holly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. Look, at the end of the day, what you're seeing before your eyes either looks truthful and a reality or it doesn't.
Right.
And
The Sanford Meisner's definition, which is very popular, is living truthfully under an imaginary circumstance. So I always say, you know, Luke Skywalker, he wanted to be a pilot, but he was stuck on the farm. Well, then he gets, you know, sidetracked with Obi-Wan Kenobi, comes back, and his aunt and uncle are dead. Well, he's very sad about, obviously, his aunt and uncle are dead, but now he's going to go join the Space Force. So he has mixed emotions, but they're real emotions, as if you wanted to go to college, but you couldn't because your parents were saying you couldn't and they were dead, but now you get to go to college. It's still a human experience, even though it's an imaginary
circumstance. That's right. Everything has to be translated into what is the reality.
I mean, my Star Wars shorts, so I feel like I gave you inspiration for that right now. But it's a good analogy.
I don't know. I saw your little smile like, go Star Wars.
Go Star Wars.
Okay. So that's one of the crucial things that you will learn, and you will learn how to do it as an actor, and you will become more specific about the way people behave and how they move.
Do you guys think that taking the wrong acting class could end up being detrimental?
Yes.
And is worse than not taking any acting class at all?
Okay.
I'm not even going to let you finish this sentence. Absolutely.
And what would you say if someone didn't know what to look for, why they would say it's a bad class?
Right, how to prevent that.
I would look at how the teacher deals with the students. There are a lot of acting teachers who have never accomplished a thing professionally and so decided, well, I'm just going to teach now.
Right.
And literally take out their lack of a career and loss of a dream on young people coming here with a penny to their name and a dream and a goal and can absolutely kill somebody's spirit. Kill it.
That's
to
true.
The point where they go home
devastated
and worse as a human being, by the way, broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a very
it's tender.
If you're going to be a teacher, it's a responsibility, and you have to, with artists, you have to handle it properly. I would really pay attention to how those teachers deal with the students. Discipline is one thing, but
abuse
is another.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of things are under the auspices of acting class.
Right.
You know, years ago, I studied with Milton Caselas. At the time, he was one of the top teachers in the world.
Okay.
And he was an amazing director. But at times, he got incredibly abusive. And he'd make someone cry and then say, start the scene. And they'd cry and do the scene. That person learned nothing.
Right.
They didn't learn how to get themselves from point A to point B. And I loved Milton as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But some of his methods, I felt were...
Yeah, not helpful.
They're not going to help you become a better actor.
Right, right. So that's a great point. Great point. Always observe the teacher when you go to an acting class and see the relationship and how they respectfully guide the students.
Follow your
through
gut.
The process.
Yeah, because you can't have someone just yesing you.
Yeah.
But by the same token, It is an open forum for abuse under the auspices of, well, we're teaching you how to act.
And what Holly means specifically about yesing, if you have a teacher, no matter what you do, they go, you're great. You're fantastic.
Yeah, they
you're
want your excellent. Money.
Yeah, they just want your money. So be careful about that. The second thing that you're going to learn in an acting class that, listen, this is just like Michael Jordan shooting 500 free throws every day was – he just needed to remind himself, that's where the basket is. That's
a guy
where
that
the
didn't make his
is.
High school varsity yeah. basketball team, by
yeah.
the way.
But that's his. That's where the basket is. That's where the basket is. So he didn't practice his big flying through the air tricks. He just knew where the basket was, so then he could fly. So in acting class, we need you to learn how to open yourself up emotionally. Society, that's what we were saying. If you walk down the street and you see a spider web, okay, so no big deal, it's fine. But a photographer or a painter or a visual artist is going to look at that spider web totally differently, see how the light hits it. Maybe a DP on a movie set would look at it completely differently. So you need to walk through life behaving. If I'm mad at Roxy and I have to do this show today, which we'll talk about after.
Oh, no. I knew it.
No. I would have to be professional and hold myself together. But in acting, we have to be able to learn how to react and open ourselves up emotionally so you can walk into a scene emotionally prepared and react in a scene emotionally prepared. And that's what a good technique would teach you.
Well, especially because you've all been conditioned from the time you were two to hold those emotions in, to cover them up, be a
right.
big boy, don't cry, suck it up.
Right.
And then as you're older, you're on Xanax and Zoloft and all
right.
these things to
right.
not feel.
Right.
And we're trying to safely
right.
give you an avenue to feel those things and then give you an avenue to put them away for
right.
when you're not acting. So you don't need, you can be a good actor and not walk around like you're an insane person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I always call it the hats. You know, there's a business hat, and we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
How you handle your business is different than how you handle your craft. And again, that's hard. It's not like we're selling vacuum cleaners, because then you can just compartmentalize.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is, you know, someone rejects my vacuum cleaner sales. You don't take that personally. But if you get rejected in an audition, you might take it more personally. Well, after you're done your audition, you need to put back on your business hat and say, it like I told you last, or I mentioned last week, I didn't get a part because they went with a heavy guy. Well, there's nothing I can do about that. They loved me. They thought I was great. They thought it was fun. But there's nothing I can do about that, so I don't take it personally. But while you're in the moments of doing your scene and creating your characters and living out a situation, you have to be able to access your emotion. And I tell my students, they say, listen, it wouldn't be fun if Stella left Stanley and he just goes, okay, see you later. He's devastated and he's screaming in the rain up for her. And Marlon Brando was a tough guy, but he still was emotionally raw and affected by his wife walking out on him. So you have to be able to access and find your emotions. And I find when I teach people, that's a lot of times where I lose them.
Well, yeah, your job as an actor is to take people on the imaginary journey and have them live through you
mm-hmm.
this experience so that they have a really great experience watching you, and then they can go home and
yeah.
go to bed and be fine. And
right.
you had to put yourself through that to take them on the journey.
Right.
You know, that's why people want to go to movies, to get lost in the story and then go home to their normal life again.
Right. Right. It's the exact kind of same thing. And that being said, using the imagination, a good school should teach you how to really, really use your imagination, because you are just part of telling a story that
mm-hmm.
the writer or the director want to tell. And if your part of the story, again, is going to say, well, I want to defeat Darth Vader, well, you don't live in space a long time ago. You have to figure this out. You need to use your imagination. And what people don't realize, all these movies nowadays, Marvel movies and space movies, a lot of these movies, they're doing so much on green screen.
Yeah.
And so much fake. You have to use your imagination.
Listen, Jeff talks about doing Jurassic Park, and Steven Spielberg had a little dinosaur
Jeff
head
Goldblum,
on a pencil.
By the way.
Yeah, one of my teachers.
Yeah.
You know, and Steven would say, okay, everybody look over here, look over here. You're not going to have a real dinosaur on the set with you. You're
right.
not going to have a real Martian standing across from you. But this is another thing I think is really important, you guys, is when you do go to a school, I would watch, if it's a beginning class, mm-hmm. are they just handing a beginner a scene?
Yeah.
Because if that's what you're seeing happen, that would be the equivalent of you going to medical school and them handing you a knife day one or day two and saying, we're gonna practice, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You have not learned a single, you have to first.
You gotta learn the anatomy.
If you saw a dad taking a kid to a basketball game, learning how to play basketball, and they just plunked the kid into the middle of a game, and the kid's never learned to pass, dribble, or shoot.
Right.
You should be seeing a class, if it's a beginning class. And
sure.
if it is, you should, or if there are beginners, if it's a mixed group, the beginners should be being taken baby steps, listening exercises in connecting to the other person, exercises
observing
in reading behavior.
Yeah.
And if you're not seeing that and they're just handing you a scene, you might eventually learn how to act, but it will be slow going because you're just being plunked in the middle.
Right.
Hope you figure it out.
Like a sink or swim.
That was my issue with teachers like Milton. Great directors, but I was learning nothing from scratch.
Right, right. And that's what you have to learn. And speaking of Jeff Goldblum, one of the best things he ever said, because he was there when came in and taught a few classes when I was there. And he said, look, the whole idea of this is to be able to relax and be as human as possible, like we are sitting here in this completely natural setting, as we are on screen or on stage. How do you bring that relaxation so you can access your emotions, so you can have a conversation and do that just like you would in real life, standing in front of a store, as you would standing in front of a store on a set with a ton of cameras around you? You want to find that personal relaxation. So that's something that a good school would teach you as well.
Yeah, I think the other thing that a lot of people, they find their school, it's fantastic,
mm-hmm.
and then they're told they have to practice. It's like, what? Wait, what? I have to rehearse? I have to practice this?
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things Jeff talked about is this is your career. You should be practicing several hours a day at something.
Sure.
Nobody is going to get better. I mean, read Outliers, 10,000 hours. No one is going to get better going twice a week from 12 to 3. Nobody stands on the podium of the Olympics with a gold medal going Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 3. It's my favorite saying I tell people.
Yeah.
You know, once you are in, you have got to practice. And anything that looks easy, look at golf. Look at certain athletes that are the best in the world at what they do. It looks so easy and effortless.
Right.
It looks effortless because they've mastered it.
Right.
And people don't realize it looks that way because these people have – Tiger Woods has swung a club until he's blue in the face. He's probably swung more clubs than he's taken steps in life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that – I mean, I said that when I started this podcast. I was honest and said, this is the first podcast I've ever done. And I was thinking, a friend of mine said, oh, how do you think it's going? I said, yeah, I'm getting it. And they said, what? They didn't tell you that you were amazing? And I go, no, why should they? It's the first time I've ever done this.
Yeah.
And because Roxy has done this for so much longer.
Over 10,000 hours.
Yeah. She sees things that I don't. I say, oh, well, this is fine. And she goes, oh, yeah, but you didn't think of this and this. And this was really great, but you need to
not to say Sean isn't doing a very good job.
No. What I'm saying is I'm learning.
But I get it. Yeah.
But I'm learning this. Of course, it's not like the camera when I'm like, hello, you know.
Well, there is a bit of translation between things in the entertainment industry in general. You'll find that across the board. I don't know if you guys do dancing to acting to singing to podcasting.
Disciplines.
Because you're performing and you're teaching and you're doing all these things. So it's not like starting cold.
Yes.
It's not like you came out here, this is your first day, and now you're rocking a podcast. All of your training up to this point actually is helping you in here.
Right, right. The concentric circles, they do overlap, feeling relaxed in front of people, having a talk. I've done podcast interviews for a lot of people because of horror fans and things
teaching.
Like that. And teaching.
But your podcast is also something that you have knowledge about. So why wouldn't you, you know, getting it, the nature of it down. But of course you're going to have an understanding of what you're talking about.
Right, right, and feeling comfortable doing that. But again, I think in a year from now, I might go, oh, I get this a lot more because I put in the time, I put in the hours.
You're going to listen. It's like me watching myself on, you know, Facts of Life. It's like, oh, God, I'm cringing. And I have to say to myself, but at the time, you're the one who booked the job.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't.
Have a hard time watching back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
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 Sometimes. I cringe. Some things are cringeworthy.
Yeah.
And some of it was the direction or,
I had an amazing story where I was doing a show called Nowhere Man with Bruce Greenwood. I think, can we pull up a picture of Bruce Greenwood, Jeff, if you can find one? He's, I think the younger generation would know him from the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films. But
he's done a lot.
He has a massive career.
Yeah,
he's a wonderful man, fantastic friend.
Agreed.
Yeah, I should try to bring him in here one time. Would be great. But he is a friend of mine and such a good guy. And we were on a set together. And the way TV works, and Holly knows this, on movies, directors run it. On TV, the producers run it. So I went in and I booked a job through producers, went and did his show. It was called Nowhere Man. And he said to me, the director was giving me really bad advice on how to do the character.
Oh, the worst.
And I didn't know what to do. Because I auditioned in LA and I'm shooting up in Oregon. So I have no support. I don't know what to do. My gut, you're saying trust your gut. It's telling me what he's telling me is wrong.
And then you're worried you're not going to work again if you don't follow the director's direction.
Yeah. And Bruce pulled me aside and said, listen, you booked it through the producers. If you have a gut. And he said, let's do what we need to do. And he helped me do takes. And then he would say, sometimes the director like, yeah, I'll do what you say, and then just do what I knew was right. And then they'd have to move on. And I wasn't trying to, you know, I'd give them one slightly, but you have to be careful, and you know this. If you give a bad one, they can use it
sometimes.
They'll use it in the editing room. So
what's that classic Shatner story?
Yeah.
About kissing at the end where he kissed, this is the first interracial kiss, and they had told him, let's do a take with it and let's do a take without it. And he knew he wanted it to air, so he ended up grabbing her face and kissing
Uhura,
her.
Is this
I'm trying to Nichelle Nichols, I think her name. Grabbing her face and kissing her, and in the other one where he doesn't kiss her, he goes cross-eyed at the end so that they couldn't use it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he was like, I'm gonna make sure they use because I don't want to even give them an option that isn't the option that I want in there.
Yeah. And so, what was so great is he helped me to make sure I had a good performance. And then the producer, Joel Surnow, used me on several other shows.
Which
after
did
that.
They use of yours? Which take? The one that?
I never did a take.
You never did.
Because what Bruce told me to do is he goes, no. Do what you know is right. Do what you know is right. And he helped me through that whole process.
That's awesome.
And I ended up working with the producer several more times. And it was great. But, I mean, if he wasn't there, as Holly's saying, you can think you're at the mercy. And you're so
it's the worst. Especially when you watch it. When you watch it back and you know there were better takes.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the director, they're painting their picture.
Yeah.
You know, they're painting their picture. And it's your job to, they say jump, you say how high. And you've got to make their take on it as truthful as you can.
Yeah.
But it's unbelievably frustrating.
Another thing that the person who started this network, Kevin Undergaro, friend of ours, always says is GMP, get more powerful. So if you're not liking the way that you're being directed, if you're not liking what
they're
telling
you, make your own
show. Make your
own
stuff.
That's what I'm always telling people.
Absolutely.
Get more powerful.
Absolutely.
And then you're also sometimes the opposite. I've done shows where, you know, I once did an episode of a show, I'm not going to say what it was, where my character went to high school with the lead girl, and now I've come back, and I'm just railing her about how fat she used to be, and I'm just this horrible person at her mercy. So it was super funny for her.
Right.
She was so adamant that she didn't want that to happen in the episode. She went and had the producers rewrite the whole thing where she railed me instead, and I was at the mercy of all her stuff. She couldn't have the foresight to see when you laugh at yourself and you're this beautiful girl being reamed by, I'm just the guest star. I'm like number 20 on the call sheet.
Yeah.
They're not going to present you in a bad light. You're dealing with egos. So
That's tough.
But yeah. That gets back to where training comes in, because right. You're going to have so many things that rattle you. And if you're technically so solid,
right.
You are going to be okay.
And if you're that's another great point. If your technique and you've worked it and you walk in there at 120%, even if you have your worst day, it's 95%.
Right.
And you're not going to look that bad. You will never look that bad if you have the confidence that I know how to do this.
Right.
And so that's another thing that we want to learn in a good acting class is how to create a character. How do you create a character? How do you find it? This is more advanced stuff mm-hmm. in an acting class. I'm not talking about this as the stuff that happens right off, but a good acting class will teach you how to take all the stuff you've learned, being emotionally open and everything, and then how to slowly build a character believably with, Stanislavski, the thing that changed him is they would sit down and talk about the play for hours and hours and hours. And then later he got into physically doing it, doing improvisation so you can understand it through physically living it and things like that. So a good school will help you figure out how to find the character within. And, one of our greatest two character actors is Meryl Streep and Daniel Day-Lewis, right? I mean, he takes – that's why he only does a movie every couple years, because he – when he got Lincoln, I read so much about – he went to the biographer. He went – he wanted to find out how he truly talked. It's not the Hall of Presidents at Disneyland where it's like a deep – he wanted to find everything he could, and he just – hounded this biographer that did all this research to build a real character and spend that time. And Marlon Brando did the same thing. And that's why he was considered so out there, because he took the time to deepen his understanding, as Holly said. So when he presented a character, it felt like he truly was that character as opposed to acting it.
Yeah.
So that's another thing a good school would. And then lastly, they should show you, and Howard Fine says this, he goes, we are detectives and we have to analyze the script and learn how to find your way through the truth of all the script. It's almost like choreography as a dancer.
Yeah, you have to extrapolate the author's intention.
Yeah, every little bit. And there may be some things that are open for interpretation, but instead of just leaving them floating, you need to then fill that in for yourself and say, well, I could go this way or this way, and this way feels right to me. And if that's the way that feels right for you, then go into that audition or go into that thing that way, because all you can do is use your gut and your instincts, and they actually might see something they never thought of.
Yeah, and a good school is going to be encouraging you to study film, study plays, and read.
Yeah.
If they're not making you, outside of class, do the things that you would be doing in a college, then run also in the other direction. Because you can't be a good actor if you're not a great comprehender.
Yeah.
You can't act what you don't understand. And they expect you to be stupid. They expect you to walk in a room and be a dumb actor. And you actually have to go in and prove them wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
And
And I talked about this a lot, about having to, watch movies, read plays, watch TV shows. If you don't know what's going on and understand why these are popular, why is Game of Thrones popular right now?
In the current climate.
Yeah, in the current climate. And understand stories and understand, you might not agree that Stanley Kowalski, rapes Blanche DuBois. It's terrible, but you kind of understand because he's an oafish guy and he doesn't know how to express himself and his anger, and that's how he takes it out on her.
Yeah, but you have to become an expert in understanding author's intention, the subtext.
Yeah.
Subtext.
Yeah.
What's really going on? Otherwise, you'd go to a movie and you'd see, well, I'm in love with you. I'm about to rape you. I'm going to kill you. The lines would just be literally what they're really going to do.
Yeah. Right.
As an actor, you've got to be able to look at that script and find the clues of what's genuinely going on.
Yeah, and I played a serial killer. I'm not going to serial kill people in real life, but
method acting behind that.
Well, a few ants, but anyway, but I had to sit there and the reason he did it one time, he was talking about because they teased him. Well, I understood what it was like to be teased and be upset about it. But this is someone who doesn't know how to do anything except express himself that way.
To take it one step further about learning how to analyze a script, because I think that that's one of the most important things. What I will say also is they recommend a lot of directors, you guys know, will take an acting class. So you know what they're doing on the other side of it. I recommend if you're an actor to take a writing course. So you
tell everybody.
So you know how people are writing, so you know what they mean when certain things are sometimes underlined, italicized, where they're placed, what the emphasis is on the stage directions and whatnot, so that you can understand how that mind works, even if you plan on never writing a day in your life.
Right.
It's kind of 102 if this is 101 taking your first actor's class, but starting to look into the future of that, too.
I tell that to every single one of my beginners. If you want to expedite this process, by the time you get a script in front of you, you have got to take a writing class. And the thing that's crazy about it is between your computer and the library, you have so much at your fingertips.
Right.
So
many resources.
Yeah.
So to wrap up this whole idea is that we've talked about so many things that you need to learn, different facets, just like we said a doctor would have to learn about hematology and colds and viruses and all the different things. There's so many things to learn that you just don't know as a layman. No, we don't know it walking down the street.
I was hoping you'd continue all the things that doctors need to know. I was going to see how far you could.
I had to bail out. I bailed out really quickly because I didn't really.
Good.
Yeah. Brains.
They need to know about
brains.
The insides and the outsides.
And fingers and skin.
The cardiovascular system. The neurological system.
Yeah.
The skeletal system. Spoken as a true hypochondriac.
Yes, exactly. So that's why it's crucial for you to study acting. It's really, really important. So always at our show, we always talk about my week at the beginning, someone who's been in the career for a long time, and then we always talk about Roxy, who's starting to break into acting.
Yeah.
So what, what specifically is going on in your week, and what did you think about the things that you need to learn to be a good actor?
A lot is going on in my week this week.
Yeah.
It's hard when I'm listening to you guys talk about compartmentalizing a little bit, and I need to figure out a little way to do that more. I have been going through some personal issues this week. A family member of mine is in the hospital, so I've been staying there, and still auditioning, and also I have a deadline for a script that we're writing, so making sure I'm meeting with my writing partner and all of that. It's very hard when you get into the room or you get into your writer's room and you're like, I cannot care about what's going on outside right now.
Yeah.
I have to get this done. So that I've been trying really hard this week to step into the room and be like, my phone is in my bag. And whatever happens in the next 3 hours, it's going to be there when I come out. So that's been my week. But I think that it's actually, you can look at it as a curse or you can look at it as a blessing. It's a nice distraction from real life as well.
Right.
So that's been interesting for me this week.
And what about what we talked about in terms of these topics?
Yeah. So I went to USC for acting. You know that. I don't know if you were aware of that. And I took acting class my whole life. And I would be curious with you guys, what do you think about pausing? What do you think about trying new classes after being in the same classes one time? Because there is kind of class burnout, I find, where if you're taking the same class forever and you're multiple times a week, sometimes people need a little bit of a break. Would you guys think that's accurate or no?
I mean, Bryan Cranston talked about it in his book that he said, you know, he studied all over town. All over town. He actually mentioned my old Growling teacher, Mindy Sterling. He said, and he just listed all the people he's learned stuff from. And I think he studied at Playhouse for a little while as well. If you can do that way where you really get something out of a school for a year or two and then you move on, or you can stay at one place for a really long time. Are you saying like take a quick break for a little while?
Both,
before,
just changing classes, taking breaks. What do you guys think about that? Do you think you should be in the same class? And once you find one that fits, you just stay.
It depends on what you're doing in that break. If it's helping you momentum-wise. So, you know, I gave up a trip to Europe when I was studying because I thought, oh, it's too early in the work. And the teacher said, hey, you should not break this process or whatever. And I didn't go. Well, I regret that because how much life and experience I had on that trip. So if it's a break and you're
doing
something that is, I think, fulfilling or would feed that that idea of your artist self or your acting self, then I think there is something to that.
It's a bummer that your teacher told you that.
Well, you know, it was an idea that the work was super tender at the very beginning and things like that. And I understand that, but I didn't have to listen to them. You know what I mean? But I don't regret it now.
I do think there's something to be said, though, for, like, I had an advanced class yesterday, and one of the students in the class I've had for about 4 years, and he's working on a play that someone else is directing, but he's really struggling with a section of it. And he asked if he could bring it into my class, because we have different teachers for different things. So he brought it in, and he was struggling with it. But I've known this guy now for 4 years, and I know what he's used for his imaginary circumstances. I know him personally now because I've been his coach basically for 4 years. So I was able in 2 minutes to help him get from point A to point B just from using imaginary things that I know he is going to easily latch onto. And that is why you see certain skaters and certain athletes and certain people have a coach for a significant amount of time, because it really is a relationship on many levels. I think if you have found someone that is able to bring out in you what needs to be brought out, it's very much like a marriage. I would just stay in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
If you find, interesting. Yeah. And that's not necessarily a class, but when we've talked about, and I'm probably going to do one, you know, about coaching, personal coaching versus taking an acting class.
Yeah.
Because a lot of coaches, yeah, we both do that, but a lot of coaches, like my coach studied with Stella Adler and Uta Hagen in New York, and then I had my Playhouse Meisner technique, and then I had my groundings technique, and he knew how to take an audition and help me find a way through all of the techniques that worked for that scene for me. So I think maybe we're saying if you had a coach or someone who can help you through these times, if you take a break, I would say make sure you're still fulfilling something. So let's say you're out living life or doing stuff. Take a notebook and jot down behaviors of people, or a conflict that happened at maybe one of your side jobs, and you said, wow, it was so interesting how when he said this, she reacted that way when she could have reacted. You know, you're still studying human behavior. You're still observing. You could still watch a lot of movies. You could still write a lot of play. I mean, write or watch and read a lot of plays.
I also think it's important to keep an open mind. Like, you might start in an acting class thinking, I'm here to be an actor. And what we've found at Playhouse West is we ended up with people that went on to become major directors. Dwayne Clark, for instance.
Yeah.
Adam Small, who created Mad TV. He was at the school for years. So people come in with one intention and have an open mind. You might go, gosh, you know, sometimes little production groups are formed, and then the next thing they know, they're making a film, and then someone decides, you know, I like writing, but now I have a perspective from taking acting classes that I'm actually a good writer. So sometimes those breaks help you figure out if you're in a transition and maybe you do want to go on another path. I don't think a break is a bad thing.
Right.
I completely quit acting when I had my daughter, and I was on a TV series. And after that season and that show ended, I was like, I'm done. Brought all my books to Playhouse West and completely quit.
For how long?
6 years.
Wow. Right.
Wow.
Right.
Completely walked away from the business.
But again, you were living life raising a child.
So. Yeah, I feel like when you came back, you were stronger, different.
Yeah, I was there for, you know, such a variety of different reasons, from a place of so much more. This isn't about making a living anymore. And then ironically, I work even more.
This business, when you don't care, when you don't care about the business, the business goes, wait, you can't reject us. Yeah. We need to hire you.
But I will say, as an artist mentality, I quit. I don't know about you. I quit every night in my mind. That's it. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm getting too old. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm memorizing lines. It's like, I can't memorize lines anymore.
Yeah.
And
you find your way back.
Those voices in your head wouldn't be there if you weren't a creative person.
Right.
And you just have to pay attention to voice to listen to, which is why your teachers and your coaches, it's mandatory, essential that you pick somebody that has your back.
Yeah.
You gives know, you that support. Isn't trying to stab you in the back.
Yeah. So So is that helpful?
Yeah,
the idea
guys.
Of the break. So all right. So next week we're actually gonna have an acting class in here. Where Kathleen Randazzo is gonna come in and run Roxy and I through our paces, doing some acting work together.
I'm very excited.
How fun!
She met Kathleen at my play. Yeah, she
amazing.
Met her at my play. She's
very
really
talented.
Great. So we're gonna do an acting class next week. Please, if you enjoyed the show, please give us a thumbs up. At on YouTube, or give us some 5 stars on iTunes, and you can always find me at That Guy SMW on Instagram and Twitter, and Roxy.
Yeah, you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I know you've got social media too.
I do. Holly_Gagnier at Insta and Holly Gagnier for Real at Twitter.
Yeah.
And,
so you can find us there.
I'm on Facebook,
and,
Holly Gagnier. I'm everywhere.
Thank you so much for coming today, Holly.
It was so much fun.
Thank helpful. You. It was really great. Roxy, I will see you next week.
Always.
And as
can't
always,
wait to see your progress.
Yes. And as always, thank you for letting me be part of your journey. I'm going to say that again. See? Take two.
Take two.
Take two.
That's the problem with live podcasts.
See? Thank
but that's
you.
Why, thank God, it's not brain surgery.
Yes.
Yes. Take two.
Take two. Thank you for letting me be part of your journey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.